Welcome to another episode of Behind the Numbers. I'm your host, Tyson Banker, BenchClear Media. I got a week 13 review for you. I'm just going to go through all the stats. Thanks for voting on my poll. I'll let you know that you like the breakdowns of the week. I just didn't know if you want me to over-explain how things are going in football or stick to the hobby stuff. You guys overwhelmingly voted to keep reviewing the week, so we will do that. I'm going to have a great guest on Thursday. We're going to talk some vintage cards, so I'm excited about that. So we'll get a little bit more of the hobby focus on Thursdays. But with that, just want to jump right into it. Let's go over the injuries real quick. Justin Fields is still out. As you know, CMC's out for the year. I did misspeak last week. I thought Dalvin Cook's shoulder was already like confirmed serious, but apparently he's kind of week to week. We'll see what happens though, because the Vikings losing the Lions, they're probably not going to push him back as they're kind of pretty much out of it. So I imagine he's going to be very cautiously going forward. Probably same with Kamara as well, with the Saints kind of not putting any wins together. They probably won't rush him back with his meniscus. I just thought there's no reason to when it comes to Kamara. You want to keep those running backs low workload as much as possible. So I definitely can see the Saints slowing him down. Thielen got hurt too for the Vikings, and then Daniel Jones was out as well. I'll mention it's not my first game here, but Cowboys, they roll over the Taysom and the Saints. Lamb and Pollard lead the way. Pollard had a great big long touchdown run. Lamb was very effective on reverses and through the air. But Zeke looks hurt. So I just, from watching that game, he got up two or three times. He was just stiff, even jogging off the field, somewhat limping. He just does not look healthy. And he's trying to play through it. I don't know why. They have a back that they can get by with for now. I think Zeke needs to just kind of take a week, maybe 2 weeks. They're firmly in the lead of the East. They're firmly going to be a playoff team. I think Zeke being healthy in December is much more important. We are in December. Down the stretch of late December and January, I think it would be more important than right now. So Zeke doesn't look good right now. Hill was okay in his kind of first game starting this year. Four picks, not great passing at all. He had 100 yards rushing. So the Saints just, kind of gimmicky, trying to get him opportunities to be successful. He had some moments, but at the end, he just kept throwing picks when he's trying to, they had to throw and they were behind. And you could tell he just couldn't do it. Bucks dominated the Falcons behind Brady and Godwin's big days. Godwin had 15 catches, I believe. Brady, we'll get to his numbers in a bit in the hot players. Gronk had a couple touchdowns, kind of getting back on the field, getting healthy. A good red zone target, as we know, for Brady. So that's nice to see him doing well. Cardinals win again, 10-2 in Kyler's return. Light day for Kyler in passing. He kind of controlled most of the game, so he didn't pass a lot. He had two rushing TDs. And a really nice showing of David Montgomery. I think he's, again, the Bears team does seem to have some pieces. I mentioned Mooney last week. Montgomery's been pretty effective. If they get a coaching change and Fields gets going, that team could have a really nice offense. Maybe get a nice old line in the draft later. They don't have their first round pick because they use that to get Fields. But definitely like the some of the pieces the Bears have are something that Fields can work with. We got Herbert gets a big win over Burrow at Cincy, 41-22. Chargers jumped out to a big lead, 24-0. Bengals charged back 24-22, and then kind of a fumble touchdown sealed the game, kind of took the game over for the Chargers, and they kind of pulled away at the end. These two teams, I can't tell you what to do with those. I'll talk about it at the end, but Higgins is really coming on, though. T. Higgins is he just kind of heated up. Last two games, he's over 300 yards in two games, right around, I think, 16 to 17 catches in two games. So he's starting to get some work as Chase starts to cool down a little bit. Lions get their first big win, so we're not going to have a winless team this year. Lions scored in the last play of the game over the Vikings. Big game for Jefferson. Big game even for Amara St. Brown as a rookie. We'll get to his numbers in the rookie list. But again, the Lions not going winless. I mean, that's kind of good. Never want to see somebody go winless. The Lions haven't done it before. Miami wins their fifth straight, beating the Giants. The Giants didn't have Daniel Jones, we mentioned, so they're starting Glennon, so they're a bit undermanned. But 20-9, Tua's coming on. He's playing well, playing efficient. And again, the Dolphins are getting into the thick of things for the playoffs. So Tua could have a playoff appearance. I mean, he's kind of slipped for a while now. He's had a really difficult time staying healthy, and that team really struggled and just kind of left Miami for dead, really, and they're back alive. So Tua can get a little playoff run. I mean, who knows with his card values? I think we've kind of maybe given up on him a little bit too early. I'm still worried about his arm strength and his arm talent. But it does seem like he's kind of getting better every week. So it doesn't matter. Maybe his health's just kind of finally getting there where he's feeling comfortable again. But definitely watching him. It was a Giant, so it's not like a big win. I kind of want to see it against Buffalo, maybe New England, see how he does in those games. But like I said, Miami's coming on. That's good. Eagles and Minshew beat the Jets 33-18. Jalen Hurts is out with injury. So I didn't mention him, but he was out with injury, kind of a late scratch. Minshew has a higher rating than Hurts on any game that he's had this year in one game. Now it's the Jets, so we can't just give it all to Minshew, but he was 20 for 25, 250 yards, two touchdowns, really efficient. Like, Hurts hasn't had a passing day like that this year. And again, just speaks to that, my concern with Hurts in the hobby, his passing ability. One guy comes in first week and has a better rating than he's had all year. So very interesting stat to kind of digest there. In terms of the Jets, you know, Wilson and Elijah Moore getting on track. We'll get to their numbers, but overall, it was a good game for those rookies finally get on track, because Wilson hasn't done as well with Moore as more so with other quarterbacks. Colts get another big win. They move to 7-6 with the Texans. 31-0, pretty easy win, to say the least. Taylor, another workhorse type day, 145 yards, two touchdowns, just continues to kind of be that number one RB. Been carrying a lot of fantasy teams as well, so his hobby values are picking up a bit. Washington wins four straight in Las Vegas. Not much hobby to talk in this game. Derek Carr didn't play awesome. I mean, Hunter Renfrow is pretty sneaky for a guy maybe down the line. Kind of give that kind of Cooper Kupp type feel. Very good route runner, very good possession guy. But kind of see what that looks like in Las Vegas long term. But really not much hobby wise in that game, so we'll kind of skim through that. Rams get back on track. Like everyone does against the Jaguars. They had a big game against the Jags. Stafford and Kupp both had big days. OBJ even got in the end zone. So just a big win for the Rams just to get off that losing streak. They've had a tough few weeks. They didn't win in November, so it's good for them to get back on track. Ravens go for the win, going for two instead of the tie against Pitt, and they fall short. So Pitt gets a big win. It keeps them alive. That could have been a dagger for Pittsburgh's chances to make the playoffs. So again, that AFC North is just so muddied right now. The Pittsburgh's still alive. Bengals are alive. The Browns are alive. Browns play the Ravens next week. And right now the Browns are favored over the Ravens. So that AFC North is just upside down. Like, I have no idea who's going to win that division. These last 4 weeks are going to be really big for that division to see who comes out of there. San Fran can't convert first and goal on the final drive, and they lose to Seattle. They were first and goal on the six or something, and just did a couple runs they tried, couldn't get there, and then had a couple passes to the end and got deflected and didn't get the tying score. Kittle had a monster day, nine catches, I believe, for 182 and two touchdowns. So overall, kind of nice to see him kind of perform that tight end one that we've all wanted for a long time to see. But in terms of Seattle, not much. Wilson was okay. It wasn't a big game for him. Metcalf was mediocre. Tyler Lockett was okay. But they got the win, so it was good for Seattle. Kind of a nice little fake punt by them in the early in the game to get them on the board. KC handles Denver despite slow offense, but 22-9. Teddy really struggled. Didn't play well at all. Threw a pick. I think it was one or two picks, but just overall, he didn't look good. A lot of air mails, a lot of overthrows. Just, yeah, to me, as a good friend of mine that's been on the show, Drew Satter with the Upper Elo account, he is a big Denver fan, and I just think Denver has a lot of talent except for quarterback position. Javonte Williams looks great. Judy's coming on. He looks great. They have Sutton. They've locked him in long-term. They have Fant. They have a lot of weapons on that offense and defense, Bradley Chubb. That team, I think if they get a quarterback next year, like if Rodgers or somebody jumps over there, Wilson jumps over there, Denver could be really scary next year. So definitely kind of keep an eye on that spot. And then tonight just finished up. Bill Belichick just kind of drew up a gem. He beat the Bills tonight in Buffalo with a crazy wind, crazy storm, like just really bad playing conditions. They threw the ball three times and came away with the win against Buffalo at 14-10. Very ugly game to watch just because the weather and a defensive battle, but the Patriots, the one that made the biggest play, with a nice long run for Damian Harris for a touchdown, and that ended up being pretty much the difference. But overall, just Bill Belichick continues to impress me. I just can't win a game like that. The Bills are now a game and a half back in the East. So Patriots, that whole idea of them controlling the East is not true right now. So how'd our rookies play? So our hard rookies play overall. Trevor Lawrence was 16 of 28 for 145. Just about the same. Nothing impressive. Rams have a tough defense, tough D-line, tough secondary, but still 16-28. It's not a terrible percentage, but 145, it's not a great number. Just not seeing it right now. Still looks like I'm still just really hoping coaching change, please. Mac Jones, as I said, this is not a misprint or misspeak. 2 for 3 for 19 yards, and I put in a win. So he did go 2 for 3 for 19, but did get the victory over the Bills. Zach Wilson, not bad, not great. 23 of 38, 226, two touchdowns and one pick. Like I said, Fields didn't play, Lance didn't play. Like I said, Chase has slowed down a little bit, 5 for 52. Still a solid game, but not the numbers he's putting up early. I really like to see him get a couple touchdowns here on the stretch to see if he can get close to that rookie record, but it's kind of getting out of reach at this point. Devonta Smith was 2 for 15. So he slowed down quite a bit, and you know, a little bit, you know, not as good chemistry maybe with Minshew, and then Hurts was hurt last week. So maybe he's just kind of had a little bit of a dry spell here. Jalen Waddle has not had a dry spell. He's 9 for 90. He's got 26 catches in the last three games. He's really working well too right now, getting a lot of volume, converting. He looks really good. So he's definitely a guy that kind of be creeping up on the buy list as a receiver is kind of elevating himself in this class. Kyle Pitts, 4 for 48 on 7 targets. He was good. He's just kind of standard, I guess. He's not great right now because I think the offense is still just kind of sputtering. But he still looks good when he has the ball in his hands. Najee Harris, 21 for 71, 5 for 36. Just a solid 100-yard all-purpose game for him. You know, Ravens and Pittsburgh tend to have kind of a slugfest, so it's kind of good production for him in a game like that. As I mentioned, Javonte Williams, he's just been beating the drum. I've been saying his yards per carry have been really impressive. They're using him a lot of ways. Kind of finally gave him 29 touches, and with 29 touches, he had 178 total yards and a touchdown. He had 100 yards rushing and 76 yards receiving on 6 catches. So he just looks great. He looks really good. He's tough to bring down, breaks a lot of tackles. He could be kind of that, I don't want to say Jonathan Taylor, it's a high ceiling, but he could kind of have that kind of breakout next year if Denver gets a good O-line going and had make some moves in the offseason, but he looks impressive. Mills did get in, but he didn't do much. So it was like 4 for 11, 49 yards. Texans just not in a good place right now. St. Brown, like I said, he's 10 for 86 for 1 touchdown in their win over Minnesota. We have Bateman, did play the whole game, but only got 1 target and no catches, unfortunately. Parson continues to have a chance at that rookie record for sacks, 5 tackles and 1 sack this week. Ramondre Stevenson, 24 for 78. Elijah Moore continues to do well, 6 receptions for 77 yards and 1 touchdown. Pat Freiermuth, just 3 for 26. I talked about him because Steelers tend to do well at tight ends. And Elijah Mitchell, he's the starting running back for the Niners, and he's starting running back for Shanahan, somebody to pay attention to. He's 22 for 66 for 1 touchdown, 3 catches for 18. Not a great game for him. Seattle did good against the run that game, but definitely got to watch going forward, especially if San Fran can make a playoff run. Some kind of hot and cold players. Cold players, I put Joe Burrow on here. Just wasn't very efficient this week. 24 for 40, 300 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. He got sacked quite a bit. He just was getting beat up a bit in that game. Actually came down one time, looked kind of was not good for his knee, but he stayed in the game, so that was a little bit of a scare. But overall, just a pretty cold game for him. Again, Patrick Mahomes, 15 for 29, 184, one pick. He had a rushing touchdown, but just again, that KC offense is not what we're used to. Josh Allen, obviously the weather was dependent on this, but Patriots defense is also great. I also kind of put in here just because they lost a big game. They lose the Patriots there. They're in a big hole now in terms of that division title, which is probably out of reach for them unless the Patriots drop an unexpected game. But he was 15 of 20, 145, and 1 touchdown. That's quite a few hot players, pretty big fantasy weeks from some guys. And I'm probably going to – I didn't list all of them because there was actually probably 7 or 8 guys that could have made the list. Tom Brady, 38-51, 368, 4 touchdowns, 1 pick. Justin Jefferson, 11, 182, 1 touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 8 for 129 and 1 touchdown. Kittle, 9 for 80, 181, 2 touchdowns. And then lastly, again, Jonathan Taylor, 32 for 145 and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So all 5 of those guys are pretty big guys for us. I think in the beginning of our season, we've been kind of talking about buying Taylor, buying Kupp, buying Jefferson. If you can afford Brady, he's probably the safest long-term investment in the football world right now. And then George Kittle is a tough guy for rookie cards because he doesn't have a lot, but he has a couple of nice rookie autos that are pretty affordable as well. You know, he's had a pretty rough season, though, with injury. So Kittle's not a guy that I'd be investing in at this point. But he still is nice to see when he puts in the big numbers. He's a fun guy to watch. So I want to give you a little product update since we missed last Thursday. XR has been out for about a week. Like, overall, I'm not impressed with XR. It's a little bit overly designed, overly color takes away from the car. Like, sometimes the cars are just so many colors and so much going on, you can barely see the player when I look at them. So I just haven't really liked it as much as I thought I would. The autos, they're kind of the same old same. Some are stickers. Most of the RPAs are doing decent, but not selling at a high price value, which XR is always a secondary to maybe third tier product. I just typically I've liked XR in the past, and this year I'm just not a fan. $350 right now is the hobby box you're going for. A couple prices I pulled for you guys. Mac Jones auto out of 49 for $555. He had a 2 out of 249 just parallel, not autograph, for $175. A Zach Wilson RPA out of 49 sold for $155, or just a couple XR prices. I also pulled some Collegiate National Treasure prices that kind of sold, some kind of notable ones. Mac Jones RPA out of 5 sold for $1,375, so pretty big number. I think 13.75 seems decent for an out of five. I know it's collegiate, but still, it's a good price. Chase RPA, which is was a redemption, sold for $2.29. And then the Lawrence RPA out of five sold for $9.50. So you can see, I mean, you have right now Mac Jones is going about 150% more than Lawrence right now. So, which is warranted. Mac Jones' team's in the playoffs. He's playing great. I still think Lawrence is a buy for me. I'm going to keep buying until I'm convinced he's just not good. I think right now the team's not good. A couple of releases coming up. We have Spectre releases on the 8th. Probably be similar to XR for me. I'm not anticipating that I will be in much Spectre or go for much Spectre myself. We have Impeccable on the 15th. Illusions on the 22nd. And then again, the one I'm super excited for, Mosaic's supposed to come out the 22nd unless it gets pushed back. But that's the one that I have my eye on that I'm hoping they'll have some money in the bank after Christmas. All right. So just kind of close, guys. My kind of five takeaways for the week. You know, Brady's heavy favorite for MVP now. It's pretty much for MGM, he's like 2-1 favorite. He's not – nobody's really close, especially Josh Allen's game tonight. If Brady just keeps playing about where he's at right now and Bucks, you know, go 3-1 on the way out, he's pretty much got that locked up. So the whole idea of another player getting MVP value bump probably is going to happen. It's just to go on to Brady, like all the championships and everything else. So it just seems like his accolades and everything he's done in terms of in the league just keeps growing, which again makes his rookie cards super stable long term. And that value can probably only go up even when he's done. Big Ben announced his last year, which I really think it's good for him in the hobby. I think we've been watching a bad Big Ben for 2 to 3 years now. He just doesn't move well. He's always like injured and just seems like it's really difficult for him to play. And I think it's kind of making us forget that he was a very good quarterback for a long time and really kept that franchise as a contender for years. And so I think once he kind of gets done, I think his card values will go up. Just because we'll start to actually remember the type of player that he was. Two championships for an elite franchise in the Pittsburgh, I think, is going to go a long way in the hobby in terms of value. So definitely, if you're probably going to have some time to get some Big Bens before he's done, I'd get them pretty quick here. So much for the long drought with New England not winning in the East. We kind of thought once Brady left, and last year what we saw from the Patriots, we just thought that, you know, that whole – you know, Patriots own the East for over a decade was done, and they're back there already. So 1 year hiatus, and they're already back. So you know, we're just kind of hoping for a change, and Bill Belichick just says, nope, we're back on top. So I think that what my big point with that, though, is my takeaway is it's big for Mac Jones' value. Mac Jones, if they win the East this year, and he gets one, if he just wins one playoff game, man, his card value is going to go crazy. So definitely, if you have those Mac Jones that you got in breaks or in Donruss, anything color, to get those great if you can, because I think you're going to have a good chance for some opportunities, some good gains, especially if they make a playoff run. This one, is not, I don't even know if it's a takeaway. It's just more of, I have no idea if the Chargers or Bengals are good. And the Bengals will, you know, smash the Brown or smash one team on this 1 week and then get beat by the Jets another. And the Chargers will, you know, beat the Steelers and then lose the next week. It's just, I have no idea what those teams are so inconsistent. It's so hard to tell. But I do know I really want the Bengals and Chargers to make the playoffs, because I think seeing Herbert and Burrow in the playoffs would be great for the hobby and great for their card values. And I think they're just fun guys to root for. And so I'm hoping that they can kind of figure it out and straighten themselves out down the stretch here and sneak in. It's because I think it should be great for that 2020 class to see them in there. And then my last takeaway is just, I just think that, you know, I've been alluding to this now for probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, but I just think Kansas City's show on turf is just kind of gone. Like, I don't see it. It's not even like they're just missing plays or just barely missing. They're just not moving the ball. I know Denver's defense is tough, but right now Mahomes only has 4 games over 300 yards this season. Let that sink in for a second. He's got 4 games this year over 300 yards, and I just – that's not the Mahomes that, you know, his card's worth $7,200. That's not, you know, the guy that we were chasing for the, you know, most talented quarterback we've ever seen. I still think he is. I still think he has a great arm talent. But right now that offense is just not clicking, and I am not sure what it is. If it's the O-line still, like it was in the Super Bowl, or where we're going with that. But right now I'm just concerned that if this offense still looks like this, how long is a hobby going to excuse this for Mahomes' value? So that's something I thought I'd leave you with a takeaway. I do want to just close in, just again mentioning my sponsor, Queen City Breaks on Facebook group. Avery and Harris guys are great guys to interact with. I appreciate them sponsoring the show. If you guys mention Behind the Numbers and you join their group and get a break, they'll give you $10 break credit, and you won't be disappointed. That's all I can promise you. Again, I'll be on Thursday on a vintage card chat, and don't forget to follow me at numbers_behind. And also check out, I just put out a baseball rookie report on Bench Clear Media, and it's also in my podcast stream here. Be sure to check that out if you're a baseball fan. Rob Kent from the Flagship Podcast and I put together a great report of how the baseball market looks, if that interests you. Either way, I appreciate you guys, and I will chat with you Thursday.